Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing on air, online, and in other media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And I'm so delighted to welcome our newest listeners in Nepal, in addition to those that are listening here in Southwest Florida and Philadelphia, New Jersey, and all. What a joy it is to sit at the feet of the Lord, just to let Him touch us where we need to be touched. And if you've been with us, you know that this month we are doing a series during this Easter month on a portrait that I'm calling He is Our Easter Savior. And we're looking at Passion Week, from Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry through each day of the week leading up to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I record this, we're in the middle of that Passion Week, and we've been taking the journey through each of those days, and we have covered Palm Sunday and what I call Mockery Monday, when Jesus cleansed the temple. And again, just a quick reminder, the portrait there is not the angry Savior, He's the anguished Savior. Go back and listen to that on my website, where we have all of these archived. But we've talked about then Mockery Monday, Teaching Tuesday, when the Lord did a lot of teaching, Woeful Wednesday, when He was betrayed to the Pharisees and the religious leaders by Judas Iscariot. Then we talked about Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. And those last 3 days that we looked at, we saw 10 different portraits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I have another 10 portraits covering Holy Saturday, which I like to call Soul Searching Saturday, and of course, Easter Sunday, which is coming up as I record this in just a few days. So, my friend, I can't wait to unpack these particular portraits of the Lord to give you a glimpse, to help you on your journey of discovering that the Lord is whatever we need whenever we need it. The Lord, our Easter Savior, manifested many portraits of Himself during Passion Week and throughout the entire Scriptures. And that's why I see the entire collection of love letters from the Lord as portraits of God. So we're going to be centering in on Luke's gospel account and Matthew's today. So if you have your Bibles, you can start making your way over to Luke chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 28 as we continue and end our journey through Passion Week today. And by the way, as you're going there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. When you get to the landing page, you'll see boxes with all kinds of options, one with articles that I've written for local publications, videos I've done, 3-minute portraits of God, these broadcasts. So click on the box for broadcast to get to the next page. It says Portraits of God, and click on that, and then you'll have the archive of these things. Also, some printed helps for you there on that website as well. All of them designed to do one thing, to help you hear God. So that's markpg.org. And as we get started, oh, let's take a moment to ask the Lord to speak, because we want to hear His heart. Well, Lord, we're just so honored that You let us come into Your presence to sit at Your feet, gaze into Your eyes, and listen for Your voice, Your whispers to speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we're wrapping up this journey through Passion Week, all the portraits that we see of who You are, what You're like, what You're doing, Father, I pray I'll be able to do it justice, just to get my brothers and sisters pointed up, way up, to how wonderful You are, how comprehensive You are, how deep You are. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of exploring Your word, Your love letters together. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, let's pick it up in Luke chapter 23. I want to talk about what's traditionally called Holy Saturday, the day after Good Friday when the Lord Jesus was slain on the cross to cover our sin. He was the voluntary sacrifice. He was the substitute sacrifice, two of the portraits we looked at last time. But now we come to that relatively quiet day in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. But it doesn't mean that nothing was happening. We're going to see three portraits here, and then the other seven will be covering Easter Sunday today as we wrap up our journey through Passion Week. So here's the first, if you're a note taker, of the portraits I want you to see as we look at Holy or Soul Searching Saturday. What was happening between the crucifixion and the resurrection? We pick it up in Luke chapter 23, where we're going to see how he is our promised Messiah. In Luke 23, verse 50, the Bible says this, and following, 50 through 56 is what we'll cover. It says, "And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action regarding Jesus. Well, he was a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God." Now, hang on to that phrase. That's important. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was yearning for the kingdom of God. Reminds me of Zacharias when we see the birth of Jesus and the dedication of the Lord Jesus in the temple. He was yearning to see the Lord come, the Messiah come, as was prophesied, as was promised. And so this man, Joseph of Arimathea, was doing likewise. Also reminds me, by the way, of Nicodemus as well, but we'll get to that in a moment. So verse 52, "This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain." All right, there's a couple of things I want us to see. The first one, as I mentioned a moment ago, the first portrait I see here is how he is our promised Messiah, because Joseph Arimathea, like Zacharias and like Nicodemus, they yearned, like so many of the Jews, for hundreds of years. Remember, there was a 400 years in between the close of the Old Testament and the opening of the New Testament. 400 years of silence, no prophetic utterance, but that doesn't mean the Lord wasn't working. They had a yearning for the promised Messiah. Joseph of Arimathea was one of those. We get it here where he says he was waiting, yearning for the kingdom of God. My friends, the Lord does make promises to us that he will come and work in our lives, but we don't know how long before the fulfillment of those promises. And it can be a long time. When you think about the history of Israel, of how the Messiah dealt with them in the Old Testament era, giving them glimpses of the Messiah who was to come. And then when it was fulfilled, beginning to progressively open their eyes to the reality of what he was doing, which was quite different than they expected. Not the military leader coming to overthrow Rome that they were hoping for in the New Testament era, but similar hopes with all the other conquering nations they dealt with prior to that. But he was doing something deeper. The promised Messiah was yearned for, and the fulfillment of his promises were coming slowly and far more different than was expected, but all the more deeper. Wow. He is our promised Messiah. He never stops working, which brings me to number two. He is our never-stopping way maker. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He says that in John 14, chapter 6. He provides a way to come to himself, to be saved, to be born again, and he never stops working. He's our never-stopping way maker. Look at this. It says in verse 53 that he took the body down and he wrapped it in linen cloth, laid him in a tomb cut into rock where no one had ever lain. And there he was. And it, in verse 54, it was a preparation day, and a Sabbath was about to begin. So here's this preparation day. Here's this Saturday, and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who walked with him and spoke with authority like no one else ever had, looked like was dead, gone, and finished, but he wasn't. Just because you can't see it, just because you can't see him, just because you can't notice or see the hand of God at work, doesn't mean he's not working. So this particular portrait, Never Stopping Waymaker, comes from a song that's been being sung in our worship services all over the place. Waymaker, I love it. It's a, you know, you are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You're here healing every heart. I worship you. Oh, I worship you. You're turning lives around. You're mending every heart. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Oh, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Oh, my God. That is who you are. I love this song. Even when Jesus was in the tomb, doesn't mean he was dead and gone. He was still working. My friend, you might feel like the Lord has forgotten you. You might feel like the Lord is ignoring you. You might feel like he's distanced himself from you. He never distanced himself from us. We're the ones who distance ourselves from him. And even though we can't see it, even though we can't feel it, he's never stopping working to make a way for you to come to him, to stay with him, to abide in him. Don't lose hope. Don't ever lose hope. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. That is our Lord. He is our never stopping waymaker, making a way from you for you, even when it looks like he might be dead and gone. Oh, he's not. That was the soul-searching, holy Saturday, them coming to grips with what is going on here. He said he was a promised Messiah. He said he was going to save us, and he's a way for us. They couldn't see it that day. They were searching their souls about what is going on here. And then I love what it says in Luke 23, verse 56, as that story continues. Backing up to 54, after they laid him in the tomb, it was a preparation day, and a Sabbath was about to begin. And now the women who had come with him from Galilee, and by the way, just quickly, the other Gospels identify them, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Joanna, and some other women. So never think that the Scripture diminishes the role of women at all. They're faithful. They're valuable in the kingdom of God. And they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. So here is this Sabbath day, the day between the crucifixion on Good Friday and the resurrection on the first day of the week, which we'll get to in a moment. And it was the day that they rested as they had been taught, as God had modeled. That is so important, my friends. Listen, when things are going on in your life and it seems like God isn't working, that God is not even there, that is not true. We can just get so frenetic in our thinking, in our grief, in our discouragement, that we can lose sight that God is there. He is our Sabbath rest. That's why the scripture says in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Oh, my friend, if you're going through a time when it looks hopeless like it did on this day in between the crucifixion and the resurrection, Do not be dismayed. Just rest. Be still. Abide in the Lord. Listen for his whispers. Search your soul. Find him there. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. He is our promised Messiah. He is our never-stopping waymaker. He is our Sabbath rest. That's what Holy Saturday or Soul Searching Saturday is about. And we have a lot of those in our lives, between the big visible works of God in our lives. Don't let that seemingly passive dead time be a passive dead time. He is working even when you don't see it. Bank on that, my friends. Well, now we come to Easter Sunday, the resurrection, the death and sin being defeated, new life in Christ. Let's pick it up in Matthew 28. Now, in verse 1, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook from fear of him and became like dead men. In other words, they fainted. And the angel said to the women, who apparently didn't faint, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. My friends, a graphic picture, portrait, story of Jesus conquering death and sin. This is a picture of resurrection power. And for the rest of his resurrection appearances, we're going to see it over and over again. This is the fourth portrait today of the 10. He is our risen Lord. But here's the fifth one, how he is our stunning hope. He is our stunning hope. Look how these women are stunned, and yet they have hope. I love how this story unfolds here in Matthew 28. After the angel said to them, he's not here, he's risen just as he said, picking it up again, verse 6, now come and see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And look at this, verse 8. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Got to stop there. Fear, awesome fear, not terror, but fear, what in the world's going on? What? Yet great joy. Hey, have you discovered that life is filled with mixed emotions? That's normal. It's okay, my friends. They had both fear and yet great joy. Not only that, they ran to report to his disciples. And then in verse 9, Jesus met them and said, rejoice. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. In other words, they fell down and worshiped him. I love this. Our stunning hope. What they were seeing, what they were discovering was overwhelming, and yet they fell at his feet and worshiped. And Jesus said to them in verse 10, don't be afraid now. Go bring word to my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. So there he is. The Lord is our stunning hope for you, my friends. When you have those mixed emotions, just fall at his feet, worship him, trust him, let him hold you close. It's okay. Let him open your eyes to see deeper things than you are seeing when you are losing hope. Well, we go on now to Luke's gospel, because the post-resurrections of the Lord Jesus Christ are covered by all four gospels. And I want to take you to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. I won't read the whole thing, but this is how verse 13 opens up in Luke 24. And behold, on that very day, this is the day of the resurrection, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia from Jerusalem. And you may know the story here. Jesus appeared to them And there was a long conversation. This is number 6. The portrait is that he is our Emmaus conversation. The Lord talks with these two. What is going on? What is it you said? They said, what do you mean? Where have you been? You don't know what's going on. He poses gentle questions. My friend, when Jesus wants to converse with you, he often opens up with gentle questions to get you thinking, to get you talking, not an inquisition, not an accusation, but gentle questions. And I love how that story unfolds. Take a journey through Luke 24:13 and see how they talk back and forth, and Jesus eases them in, and then he gives them some clear expressions of who he is. And then finally at the end, when he opens their eyes and they see who he is and who they're talking to, they're just stunned and he disappears. Oh, I love that. The Lord loves to enter gentle conversation with us. And then there in Luke 24, verse 36, we see the Lord just speaking peace to them. It says this, and while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst, and he said, peace be with you. And he goes on, and here's what he says to them. He says, but they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit or a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet, and that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And then it goes on, and he said in verse 42, they gave him a piece of fish, broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their sight. This is the Lord giving them personal peace. Why? Because he is our personal peace. That's number 7, the portrait we have there. The Lord loves to speak peace to us if we have ears to hear it. He loves to show himself to us. Here are my hands, here are my feet. Not in a literal way like they did in this situation, but he'll give us evidences from time to time as we need it. He loves to do that. He loves to reassure us that he's right there and that we can be at peace. But then he goes on and he says that he's promising them something. Look at it in verse 49. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, and you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is him preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost that was to come in the upper room. Why? Because here's number 8. He is our promised power. Not just our personal peace, not just our Emmaus conversation or stunning hope or risen Lord. He is also our promised power, the power of the Holy Spirit. But come and tarry before me, abide in me, wait for me. I will work in the proper way at the proper time. I promise you that. Oh, I love that. My friend, if you're going through some difficult times, his promised power by his Holy Spirit is there. Wait upon the Lord. Seek the heart of the Lord. Look for the deeper things. Look for the higher things. They're there, not things of this world, but of the other world, the invisible world, because he is our promised power. Now going back to Matthew 28, we've got to close with these two. It's the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated to them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Let's stop there. Here's the 9th portrait. He is our authoritative king. He's our authoritative king. He fulfilled the plan of God. The Holy Trinity is being manifested in so many ways. He gave him an indication that the Spirit, the Comforter, would be coming. That is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our authoritative king. He does have all authority in heaven and on earth. But here's the stunning thing. He's delegating it to us. He's wanting to work through us in powerful ways. So he says in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you." Now let me stop right there. This is not saying, okay, now you got to go do the hard work. I'm off in heaven now. No, he's saying, I'm going to do the work, but I'm going to let you be a part of it. I'm going to let you be my hands on earth. And I'm going to be with you, not physically like I have been, and not physically in my resurrection body. By the way, that's a peak of our resurrection body, flesh and bones, able to still eat, disappearing and reappearing. I mean, it's when you think about it, wow, it's a preliminary peek at what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. But he is our authoritative king who says, by my spirit, who will bring comfort, but also power, you will be able to do the things that I have done, and you will speak the gospel, and you will make disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting you with that. I'm delegating my authority to you in my power, in my name. Can't do it on your own. Can't do it in the flesh. But if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And finally, he says, and I am with you always to the end of the age. The last portrait for today, he is our eternal presence. When you come to Christ, he is present within you, inside of you. You have a union with him. Your eternity starts now. That is where your stability, hope, and joy is. Not in the things of this world, my friend, but in our Easter Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our eternal presence. Wow. Well, Lord, we thank you for all these portraits, and there's so many more. May we see your love letters as portrait after portrait of how you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Have a great Easter. Check out the website at markpg.org and fall in love with Jesus, your Easter Savior.